Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Coming up tonight, it's opening night in the NBA. Can you believe that? Tomorrow, the Utah Jazz are going to make their return to KOAL. First game of the year is David Locke and Ron Boone will bring you the play-by-play commentary throughout the season. We have not talked a lot of basketball as of late. We are knee-deep right now in football, and obviously game one of the World Series coming up on Friday. But tonight, the NBA will take center stage. And to get us rolling, we do have a doubleheader as the Rockets will travel to meet the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then we get the Warriors-Lakers. And then tomorrow night, full slate of basketball games. Joining us, as he does each week during the season, to talk some NBA hoops, we have James Holas. And James, it is always a pleasure to get you on the show. And as you and I were talking about just a moment ago, offseason went by in a hurry, that's for sure.
And lo, the prodigal son has returned. Let's be real. The world has been a very interesting place this summer. A lot's going on in sports and in the world overall. So I think the preseason just was kind of inconsequential backdrop, and it didn't feel like I was something I was really into, but the season's here. It was like a roller coaster, and you go up, 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 nice and slow. That was the off season, and then Kuminga signed, and it's been like a breakneck speed all downhill since then.
You hit it right on the head as far as everything going on in the world, right? Which, I mean, I think at the end of the day, we can all agree that when we have basketball and we have football and we have baseball, right, there's some common ground there. And that's always fun. It's always entertaining. And I think it inconsequential. Man, you worded that perfectly. It's like you're a storyteller.
I mean, you know, that's one thing I could do is yap my mouth. You know, I could talk a lot. So.
It was a boring offseason, I guess, the latter part outside of the Golden State Warriors. Kuminga does finally sign. I think there were a lot of question marks surrounding what was going to happen next in Golden State. I still don't know what his future looks like. I don't believe he is a long-term fit for what's going on in Golden State. But I also think that there's not too many teams more interesting this year than the Golden State Warriors, right? I mean, it's one of those years. I think it's the last before we see a transition year for the Golden State Warriors. Let me put it that way. I think the window is closing. This is it for them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think they said this is like the oldest starting five ever, right, by average age from the way it's looking. And, like, we all, you know, Curry and Draymond and Jimmy are all, you know, past, what, 15, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 seasons in. So, like, it has to end sometime. But they were really good after the Jimmy Butler trade last year. They added Al Horford. They added some good pieces. But, like, we know, hey, the writing's on the wall. Won't go on forever. So this is a very interesting season. And, again, Steph Curry still looks great. Steph Curry looks like he can play another four, five, six seasons the way he moves. But, you know, every good thing comes to an end. So they're going to be a really interesting story. Can they keep up with the athleticism and the youth of the current NBA?
Yeah, that was going to be my next question for you, because we are in the middle of a youth movement in the NBA. We saw that with Oklahoma City entering as a defending champ. So let's take a look at this depth chart here for the Golden State Warriors. So starting, we're going to see Steph Curry. We're going to see Buddy Hield. You do have Moses Moody, but he's out right now. You got Jimmy Butler. You got Draymond Green. You got Al Horford. And you got Jonathan Kuminga. Like, for the most part, that's your seven-man rotation right there. Is that team capable of competing in this youth movement where things are getting faster? It's getting more athletic. Can they hang? That's the question.
I mean, a guy like Quentin Post is going to play because he has to. Because Al Horford has to be kind of, you know, keep him under glass basically most of the season. You want to kind of keep him warm but not overuse him. So, yeah, you're right. That's their 7-8-man rotation. And outside, you know, Steph and Jimmy Butler are still incredible. Draymond can still reach those heights every now and then, but we've seen him starting to slow down a little bit. And Al, it's Al Horford. He's old. So it's really – once you get past those top four – all the rest of the guys are serviceable role players, and that's about it. So it's an interesting dynamic where Steph is still Steph. He's still incredible. I just don't know about the rest of the guys. Can Butler stay healthy? Can Draymond bring that kind of impact every night now? And I think, you know, I think they all kind of know it. So we're going to see a renewed energy, but it's 82 games. Can they go through 82 games against the youth of a team like the Thunder and all these young upwards, even the Spurs, so young and just athletic. So interesting to see, can their knowledge overcome the athletic disadvantage they're going to be at?
And tonight, their opponent, the Los Angeles Lakers, I think there's similar questions. Now, I don't have any doubt in my mind that this Laker roster going into 2025-26 looks significantly better than it did going into 2024-2025. Luka, Austin Reeves, Rui, Ayton, I think is one of those boomer bust type signings. Jared Vanderbilt, Jake LaRavia, right? They add Marcus Smart. There's no question that this is a better roster than what we saw a year ago. And let's assume that LeBron James is all in, and let's assume that LeBron James is healthy. Did this team make big enough steps in your mind to compete with some of the other teams that did get drastically better, like another team we'll talk about in a moment, in the Houston Rockets, or the defending champion Oklahoma City Thunder? Is this team in a better position to make a deep run?
They're definitely in a better position, right? Not just having, you know, Luka came in late, and he was not in the best shape last year, a little dinged up. A healthy, new physique Luka makes all the difference in the world. But I think our big question about the Lakers always is, do they have enough shooting? And they didn't really address that. Even the hypothesis is kind of flawed already, because LeBron's going to miss a couple weeks with sciatica, which if you've never had sciatica, guys, it is not fun.
It's awful.
And
it's awful.
If he's trying to deal with bouts of sciatica, the writing's on the wall, and that's not a ding on LeBron. You know, he's at that age, man. Like, we all know what's going to happen sooner or later, and this is the end stage for LeBron. They definitely got better. But again, man, just the sheer athleticism and relentlessness of the Thunder, I don't think the Lakers can deal with that, right? That the multiple defenders they can throw at Luka. And even with both those guys, LeBron and Luka, on the floor, we haven't seen that for an extended period of time with, you know, all these pieces. So they have a lot of work to do, but a lot like the Warriors, at least they have the pieces to maybe make something happen.
They have the pieces, and they're younger, right? They're younger. And you know what? They are, I think when you look at the Lakers and you look at this roster, and we're going to see this live and in color tonight, I honestly believe that DeAndre Ayton, I mean, outside of Anthony Davis, of course, when's the last time the Lakers had a big man that was at least serviceable? Now, there was no depth behind Anthony Davis outside of JaVale McGee. That was about it, right? So I think when you look at DeAndre Ayton over the last three or four seasons, it's a staunch improvement to where they had. In fact, AD would have been begging for a guy like DeAndre Ayton when he was wearing a Laker uniform.
So my issue with DeAndre, and we shall see, and I hate using these kind of words, but just, you know, as a fan, I can say this. He has a little bit of loser in him, right? It's like he worries more about his stats than I think the actual impact in the game. He has not very self-aware, right? His nickname is Dominating, like, and he does not do that. And he's a little bit of a finesse guy. He has a good big frame, but he's almost like a finesse guy. He doesn't want to really get down there and do the dirty work. So I'm curious to see how he gets along with LeBron James and Luka, because they want a roller, man. They want a pick and popper, a roller, a kind of a grunt to do the hard screens and roll hard to the rim, and that's not who he's shown himself to be. He's definitely talented, but he reminds me a little bit of Andre Drummond, where he puts up these numbers, but do they really lead to winning? We did see him in a winning situation, but, you know, did the years kind of toiling away in Portland and being on the outs in Phoenix, did they kind of put a stink on him? So that's up to him to kind of dissuade that. But talent-wise, you're right. He's definitely something that the Lakers haven't had at center for a long time.
Let's talk about another team that we will get to see tonight, a team that did make some changes, to say the least, in the Houston Rockets. How high are you on this roster, and how deep can this Rocket team go? Are they a formidable opponent for Oklahoma City as far as testing for the crown?
I would have been really all in on them if Fred VanVleet hadn't gotten injured, which is funny to say, because he's probably, like, you know, out of all their starters, he's like the fifth in the pecking order of who you care about. But he actually kind of tied it all together, right? And so now they have to make do. They don't have a strong point guard play. But Amen Thompson did play point in when he played for that overtime elite team. And so it's still, I like the fact that we're seeing records, right? The Warriors are going to be the oldest starting five, and the Rockets are trying out the tallest starting five, I think, of all time, right? With Amen at point guard at 6'7" being their biggest one, their smallest guy. So yeah, I'm very high on him still, though, because I love Amen Thompson. I think he's going to be incredible. I think overall he has a career that's going to, he's going to be like a borderline kind of defensive superstar, almost like a Ron Artest type. With better handles. So I really am high on them. I like this way that they've, while the league has been going smaller and smaller, they went the other way and they're going jumbo with Steven Adams and Sengun. So, and then, hey, Kevin Durant, I looked this up the other day. Since he tore his Achilles, he's averaging like 27 points a game, 6 rebounds, and almost like 5.5, 6 assists a game. Like, he's been incredible, almost 40, 50, 90 splits. He's still one of the premier scorers you'll ever see in the NBA. So the Rockets added that without losing much, they're going to be a fun team.
I think they're fun to watch just from the perspective of I can't wait to watch KD and Sengun out on the floor at the same time. I don't know why, but I think once we get into the regular season, that duo right there, that intrigues me, James.
Me too, because Sengun, it's almost putting pressure on him to say like he's a baby Joker, but, you know, he's the perimeter guy. He can shoot a little bit mid-range, another three ball like Joker. Really good passing instincts, and he's an old-school kind of footwork, score-around-the-basket kind of center. So between him, KD, and Sengun, man, and then I'm really high on the Smith kid. He's Jabari Smith. Mm-hmm. He's the perfect kind of role player to fit beside these guys. And, you know, he's gonna have an outbreak where some games he'll go for 27 because everybody's focused on everybody else. So they have a lot of weapons. We know that the coach is going to have them playing insane defense. Can he cobble together a cohesive offense that's not going to be just like get the ball to KD and stay out of the way?
Before we move on to the Western Conference, and again, we haven't talked about the defending champs yet. They'll play Houston tonight, but I do want to get your thoughts on the Denver Nuggets because I know there are a lot of people that are really, really high on them, including my co-host here in Travis. He thinks that they're going to be outstanding. In fact, they're his pick to win the NBA championship. They did make some moves, obviously, trading Michael Porter, bringing in Cam Johnson. I remember when you and I were talking about that in the offseason. They go out, they add a Bruce Brown, they add a Tim Hardaway Jr., they add a Jonas Valanciunas. Is this the team that Oklahoma needs to be most concerned about?
You know what? Me and Travis got me, and I'm mad that you told me that because I was going to let you know that Denver is my pick to upend the Thunder this year. They took them to 7 last year with a gimpy Aaron Gordon.
Yep.
They upgraded on the perimeter. They added, they got the boy Bruce Brown back. We know Christian Brown's going to be even better this year. Joker has a legit backup in, what's his name? The big burly center.
Valanciunas,
Big Val is in town. Jamal Murray looks like he's in great shape to start the season and not going to ease him like he normally does. I think they have all the tools, and we know that Joker, if you show down with the Thunder, you have the best player on the court, and you have depth. I think Denver is definitely the team that is going to surprise a lot of people, and maybe not the regular season wins. I know in the playoffs they're going to give the Thunder everything they can handle.
As far as teams in the Western Conference that could contend, what about Dallas? Where do you sit on the Mavericks?
So they're going to be depending a lot on a rookie, and I think he's going to be a very good rookie. Cooper Flagg's going to be really, really good. But we also know that rookies, it takes some time to really get used to the NBA game, and there's going to be a rookie wall is going to hit. We don't know what Kyrie Irving will look like when he comes back. And then they have to all readjust to Kyrie when he comes back with Cooper. Anthony Davis looks noticeably heavier, and even though he's going to be playing power forward, maybe he's a little stronger, but he's not a spring chicken either. So they're going to be a really good defense. They're going to be really big. They're going to be able to go big on teams and kind of dominate with size. I don't know if they have the upper echelon talent because right now it's just Anthony Davis and a really good rookie. I'm not a big fan of D'Angelo Russell. Yeah, I think he's another player who's kind of a loser. So they can make some noise, but I don't think they're a step below the teams like the OKC Thunder and the Denver Nuggets.
Let's jump over to the Eastern Conference. And again, joining us right now, James Hollis, our NBA analyst, back for another season. James, right now it's tough. I know the Boston Celtics, they're down a superstar. The Indiana Pacers are down a superstar. I look at the Eastern Conference right now, and I see Cleveland, I see New York, I see Orlando. I think those are the top three teams, and then I think there is a significant gap between the rest of the field in the East. Am I off in that estimation?
No, you're not off. I'm looking at the same teams. I think Detroit's maybe a half step behind Orlando, which is funny to say because they got further in the playoffs, right? So I don't know why I think that, but I do feel like Orlando, I guess adding a guy like Desmond Bane puts them maybe a half step over on Detroit Pistons. Another team I think that's right in that half step below that upper echelon in the East is the Atlanta Hawks. But, yeah, Cleveland's proven themselves as a regular season team. The Knicks, I think, have got a little bit better, and they diversified their offense with a new coach. And, yeah, I think Orlando's going to be so big and physical, and if this is the year that Banchero puts it all together, him and Wagner are just a dynamic duo. So I'm with you. I think the East is very flawed. Definitely the whole East is a half step behind the West in almost every aspect. But those are the top three in the East.
Yeah, and I think I'm glad you mentioned Atlanta because when you look at what they have added, I mean, we talk about Porzingis, we can talk about Kennard, right, Nikhil Alexander-Walker. You can talk about all the pieces that they've added. If Atlanta has success early on and they get aggressive, come January, February, around the trade deadline, this could be a team that actually could make a run in the Eastern Conference. I could see it happening.
I think they make a run even now without the trade. I mean, any trade they make would be just about maybe the nooks and crannies, right? I don't think they make the big trade that I think they need to make, which is, I know we all like Trae Young. He's fun. He's a great theatrical player. But I think if they, like, look, man, a small undersized point guard who's not Steph Curry, it's hard to win with. And Steph Curry's not even undersized. So a small point guard who like a volume scorer point guard, it's hard. We saw a lot of teams try and fail with it. So Jalen Johnson has to take the next step. We know Dyson Daniels is great. Porzingis has to stay healthy. And, yeah, even with Trae Young, though, they could definitely make a run because they're deep and they added some youth and athleticism. They're going to be good. They're going to be good to go.
So we're talking about the cream of the crop here. Let's talk about some of the bottom feeders, and we will start, yes, again, with the Utah Jazz. It was not the offseason that I know Jazz fans wanted. They had this idea that Cooper Flagg was going to be the savior. That did not happen, although I was excited about the Ace Bailey pick. And if anyone did follow the Utah Jazz throughout the preseason, they had to get excited about this as well, because I think that Ace Bailey really did exceed some of the expectations. And I think Jazz fans actually have a player that they can finally get excited about being the long-term face of this franchise. I think that is Ace Bailey.
Yeah, it's such a weird, weird franchise to root for. I can only imagine what Jazz fans go through, because this has been a tough few years, and you know, even this year doesn't look to be much better, right? And is there a better player to be in the NBA than Lauri Markkanen? He got his money. He never had any expectations. He played really well 1 year and got that big contract, and he's barely played the last few years, and there's no pressure on him. So I don't know exactly what Lauri Markkanen is, except for trade bait right now, right? Because we know that the Utah Jazz, I think it'd be in their best interest to have this be the last year of them doing it, but bottom out and get that kind of pick. Markkanen's good. Doesn't really fit their timeline. And like you said, Ace looks really, really good. Better than I thought he looked. He looks amazing. A lot better off ball than I thought he'd be. And the shot and the scoring looks incredible. They have so many young pieces that got these draft picks, but what are they going to do? That's the next question. What is the next step for the Utah Jazz? This year has to be that transition year where they kind of figure it out, and next year go into a different kind of phase. Because I know this whole, hey, we're rebuilding for the future thing must be wearing really thin on Jazz fans.
Are they the worst team in the league, or would you give that to the Washington Wizards, who have to be pretty close? I mean, they're right there, if not worse than Utah. They've got to be right there, at least roster construction-wise.
Which says a lot, though, because I feel like what the Wizards have kind of built the last couple of years. Not great, and it's funny because they kind of backed into it. I don't think they did it on purpose. But a guy like, what's his name, Bob Carrington,
mm-hmm.
He actually might be a player. Koulibaly. He looks like he's going to be something, man. He's 6'7", a wing who can, like, do a lot with the ball. Kyshawn George. None of these guys are the guy. Trae Johnson, the guy they drafted this year. And, of course, the Alex Sarr. But they got all these guys, and Sarr might be something. He's a diamond in the rough. He has a lot of growth, a lot of runway for his growth still. So they didn't do it on purpose, and it wasn't ugly. It wasn't pretty the way they got there. But it's funny because the Jazz and the Wizards are just kind of the same place. Obviously, the Jazz have way more assets, so they did a better job. But right now, they're both starting at ground zero. I think the Jazz has a better ceiling in place as far as the potential. But the Wizards, there might be light in the tunnel if they handle this part of their rebuild right.
Okay, so you talked about Lauri Markkanen being one of the best spots in the NBA. The fact that he got paid, he had one big year. There's no huge expectations, right? Is there a worse spot for a player to be in than Devin Booker?
It's funny because in a lot of ways, it's almost like if you projected 6 years in the future for Lauri Markkanen and somehow the Jazz didn't do anything with it, that's where you'd be, right? Because, hey, Booker has his money. He's very well compensated, and he has a team around him that's not supposed to do anything. The superstar experiment failed miserably, and now they're just kind of licking their wounds. But he seems to be content. But, yes, as far as for his team, there is no light at the end of the tunnel for the Suns right now. They just don't have a lot around him, and I don't know what their path forward is to adding more talent. So I hope he likes, you know, he must like the sun. He must like the dry weather in Phoenix because he seems happy and he's doing the right things. Sometimes you just want to be the franchise.
Yeah, that's a good point. James, before I let you go, two questions. Okay, first off, give me a reason why Jazz fans should be engaged all season long. Give me one reason why.
I mean, Ace Bailey. You got this guy. He fell in the draft. He should have been a number two or three pick. He fell in your lap. And, you know, we don't know. Maybe we'll never hear the whole story about what happened with him and his manager. It seems super weird, but they got him out. He got his manager out of there, and he seems like a happy kid. He seems like a good kid. He's long. He's rangy, athletic. He's bouncy. Him and that's all I got, really, because lose a lot of games. Look, they're going to play hard. How about this? We know you have hey, they have a great coach down there in Utah. They're going to play hard. They're going to probably steal a game or two that they shouldn't steal. There's going to be some highs in the season where all of a sudden they look like world breakers for whatever reason for one night. They've done it. They got some fun young guys, but I like watching them. None of those guys are, like, really upper echelon besides Ace and Laurie. So that's about it, you know. Keep an eye on the college ranks and see who's, you know, coming out top four, and hope you get your hands on one of those guys, Jazz fans. I just hope it's the last leg, and the bumpy ride is almost over.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about the Utah Jazz and some other pieces outside of Ace Bailey, Taylor Hendricks, I know, does create a lot of attention. People do like Cody Williams, is another name. I think he's become kind of a fan favorite, right? You got Keyonte George. You got some guys that I think people have endeared themselves to here in the state. But if you think it's going to result in wins.
His name, is it Collier?
Collier. Yeah. Yeah. You got another guy, right? And Isaiah Collier. So you got a couple of guys that people are excited about. You know what? This is the best part about the Utah Jazz, James. The best part is they have an owner that wants to win. And I think sometimes that gets overlooked. And anyone in the state of Utah that follows anything that Ryan Smith does, they have to know this guy wants to win.
You know what? I want to say two other reasons to keep an eye on them. The veterans, George Yang and Kevin Love.
Kevin Love.
Kevin Love looks like Omni-Man from the Invincible TV show. It's so weird seeing him in a Jazz costume.
Yeah.
I watched him creak up and down the court the other day. And a Jazz uniform. And it's so weird, but he's out there still playing because obviously it's his love of the game. And he might get traded, of course. But he's being a good vet, and I'm sure it's probably fun to have him around that team for the guys, the young guys. And then Yang's attitude was a big thing for Cleveland. He's a really feisty kind of player. I like that kind of attitude. And sure, he's not going to help you guys win games, but I like having that kind of energy around a young team.
All right, let's end with this. Who's in the NBA Finals?
Oh boy, I'm gonna say Nuggets and Knicks. As much as I hate to say it, Nuggets and Knicks, with the Nuggets taking it home. Joker wins number two, and Joker puts his name in possible top 10 all-time conversations.
He's James Holas, kind enough to join us to talk NBA basketball. James, before we let you go, where can we find more of you?
Just on the social media sites, at Snotty Drippin, homage to the great Scottie Pippen, the great player that he was, not the great after he's doing weird stuff now with crypto and stuff. I don't know why. But, yeah, I just talk basketball and life and make jokes. So on all platforms, you can come. Let's talk basketball.
Love getting you on, James. Can't wait to do it again. Enjoy opening night. We'll talk soon.
Let's do it.
Always a pleasure to get James Holas here on the show. With that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. We'll start talking Game 1 of the World Series, Dodgers-Blue Jays in Toronto. Game 1 is Friday night after Toronto picks up a Game 7 win over the Seattle Mariners. We'll dive into that. We'll talk a little high school football as well. Until then, be safe. I am out.